gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Valentine's Day. I love you, Chris. I love you, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Neither one of you are paying attention to me. That is real love. Hello. 1-800-STEPHANIE.
Would you like the show on the air?
Oh, that.
As long as
that's my Valentine's gift to you.
As long as we're together.
Oh.
What? Huh? What? Wait a minute. Speaking of love, this is huge, huge, Jim. A federal judge has ruled that Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, making it the first state in the South to have its voter-approved prohibition overturned. And who do we have booked today just in time? Strikingly handsome Lieutenant Governor of California, Gavin Newsom. It's the 10-year anniversary of him starting to marry couples here in California.
Hooray!
We're trailblazers here in California. Look at us. Go! So it's very exciting because that's the big one. That could be the one that goes to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And gets marriage equality nationwide. It's very, very exciting.
A stay has been put on marriages right now in the state of Virginia.
Whatever, Captain Buzzkill.
Pending appeal. I'm just injecting reality.
I understand.
Okay. Captain Sunshine.
Can you do that on Valentine's Day? Can you issue a stay?
Ooh.
What is that, I wonder?
Ooh, space alien.
Wedding bells for me.
What's I think it's that a serious energy ribbon at the solar system's edge.
Phones.
Which I'm reading about right now.
Pardon me?
Oh, the phones. Ooh, we're getting...
That's the phone pot.
We're getting a awesome. Call from Mars, apparently.
Awesome. Ooh, because I hear that Mars does need women. Maybe that's why they're calling.
Mm.
I'd be happy to go. Okay.
Or maybe it's Drake who's expressing his disgust at our show. And he's left off the cover of Rolling Stone.
Right, by Philip Seymour Hoffman, that publicity hog who had dying and all to get on the cover of Rolling Stone. What a jerk, Drake. All right, so we covered that there. That's in other hip-hop news.
God.
It's been months since I've been able to say in other hip-hop news.
Yes.
All right. Listen, it is a very, very exciting Sexy Liberal morning because we are all off to Phoenix, Arizona for the very first 2014 Sexy Liberal show. Oh, by the way.
What?
This is, I am so excited. I just got off the phone with Roland. We picked our Sexy Liberal cause for Arizona, and it is the Gabby Giffords Foundation.
Oh, cool.
Americans for Responsible Solutions. You know, I just got to meet her and Mark in Arizona not too long ago, and Mark is going to come on the show shortly.
Wow.
Hopefully they have a, she's writing a book. He has a book. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's the same book, but anyway, cannot wait to talk to them. Anyway, so here's the deal. Last minute sales. We have a last minute discount for the remaining rear orchestra and mezzanine seats. We know times are tough, so we have a 40% off if you buy two tickets. Go to phoenix.ticketforce.com. The code is sexy, and that should be up at Stephanie Miller Facebook and Sexy Liberal Facebook. Mm-hmm. Correct. All right. And then the proceeds to the Gabby Giffords Foundation, the Sexy Liberal cause for Phoenix. All right. And then good God in heaven. Oh wait, I have more news. Roland Wright quoted the Luminous email this morning.
Yeah.
Fort Lauderdale, in 2 days of on sale, we've done in single tickets what we did in 2 months last time.
Wow.
So we are thrilled. Sales are much higher than expected. We were worried because we've never done a show with that little notice, but we were invited because it's Pride weekend. So we are beside ourselves. Also, don't forget, we do have VIP tickets are almost out, but we do have $40 tickets available to that. We try to have every price point, you know, so that everybody can join the party. So go. Get it. Dear God, I'm nearly breathless, and yet, what's that, Chris?
What?
I'm already winded, and I'm not even through the first segment yet.
Do we have another announcement?
Yeah, we do. We have yet another Sexy Liberal announcement. Because you're thinking, Jim, where are we going to be in June? Huh?
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
You heard that right, Minnesota. Michelle Bachmann is leaving Congress. And to celebrate, it's out with the crazy.
Crazy.
Bye-bye.
And in with the sexy. Backed by overwhelming popular demand, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Minneapolis June 7th at the State Theater. comedic geniuses John Fugelsang and Carlos Alazraki will perform live on stage with the star of all progressive media, Stephanie Miller.
Are they pro-America or anti-America?
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss this evening of political comedy with a special goodbye to Michelle and Marcus, too.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley!
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live June 7th at the State Theater in Minneapolis. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Marcus must be livid.
Oh. That'd be super if he showed up. What's he doing now? What's he doing? He's not Michelle's stylist anymore. He doesn't need to buy her pantsuits.
He's eating corn dogs.
There's lots of de-gaying to do. So.
Right. Right. Oh, let's invite him, seriously.
And he's just the girl to do
not
it.
Not her, just him.
Just him?
Don't you think? To do the opening number, because he would be super. Don't you think? On skates,
low
maybe.
High, low, low.
I'm so bad. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
All right. So the box office just opened now. Go. Hurry.
I've never seen Marcus in a hat. I've seen him with a corn dog shoved in his mouth.
Yes. He seemed very enthusiastic about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to see.
And what man doesn't look masculine in a seersucker suit?
Oh, dear. She looked like she hadn't seen anything of that shape in quite some time. Ooh, what is that?
Oh, my God, what is that?
Okay. Guess who's coming to Sexy Liberal Phoenix this weekend?
Who?
Laura in Denver.
What?
Right? Coming from Denver.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
Phoenix Sexy Liberal. Hi, Steph. My amazing husband surprised me with VIP tickets to Phoenix Sexy Liberal last night. What a Valentine's Day gift. Mm. Can't wait to meet you guys on Saturday. Also, I wanted to pass along this video of a farting Olympic figure skater. These are Steph heads. These are people that are going to drive from the city by the bay or fly or whatever they're doing.
Hmm.
Ooh, ain't nobody going nowhere from the East Coast.
I'm guessing the Sochi commissary is responsible for that.
Right. Yes, exactly.
A lot of borscht.
The borscht. Oh, that was... Now that's a triple Lutz. All right. And a love letter for Valentine's Day, Chris, from Pat and Stan in Georgia now, but originally from the Adirondacks. The saga of Steph. Steph and the wonderful Mooks and handsome romantic dogs. We got to SiriusXM 6 years ago, discovered Sexy Liberal, became big fans. Then you went on Current. We were thrilled. Could DVD and watch after work. Then we heard about Free Speech TV. Yay! As Michelle Bachman would say. And Marcus.
Yay!
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 Fabulous. Fabulous. Then we found it was in HD, which we did not have. Boo! Decided to give each other a new HD for Christmas. Yay again! Then found out. Then found out we did not have an HD package.
Boo!
Boo again. So we decided to give up HBO. Oh my God.
Whoa!
You gave up HBO for me? So we did all this, and we got a new dish installed right before you started on Free Speech TV. It was all worth it because we think you're all great, funny, honest, loyal, and, of course, I'm a complete dollface. Yes, I am. I am a dollface.
I am doll parts.
I'm a dollface with doll parts. That's right, Jim. Thank you.
Wow. Bringing back the Courtney Love, huh?
Yeah. Yikes. What's all that little boot?
I don't know.
I actually have the video of, what's it called, the... From
Paul. Speak on your microphone.
Yeah, you need to get closer to your microphone.
Hello,
check, I know this is all new for you. Go ahead.
No, it was right there. Never mind. It's
okay. He's talking into the right one.
I know.
That's a good sign.
Now he's on it.
I've never had to be this on top of the mic before.
I know. I know, because you're no Marcus Bachman.
Is it that the levels are too low? Is that what it is? I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Okay, stop freaking Chris out. He's having a bad morning. What is going on this morning? Is it because I got new internet?
No, you have no way of knowing who's on the phones.
Nice. Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun. We'll just wing it.
That?
What happened to my software? It went fluey?
Well, Travis's works over in his area.
Oh, perfect.
But it's not connecting in here.
Okay, well, I'll run out to the screener's booth to answer
calls,
then.
There you go.
I'll just be the screener and the host today.
How about that?
Like Jim used to be.
Yes. Right. Remember that?
How are you?
How is Dick and Dayton, I wonder?
Oh, boy.
Hi! Okay. Everybody, just stop with the throwbacks that no one else gets. All right, so on the big show, as I said, Gavin Newsom coming up. Yep. He has in hour number three. What perfect timing with the marriage equality so front and center this morning. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of the hour, Jim, my best friend Wanda.
Wanda.
Who is Dr. Wanda to you.
That's right.
She's a psychologist in a men's maximum security prison. Just, okay. You know, just for the dating possibilities.
Yeah.
In Northern California. There was a great piece everybody's talking about by Nick Kristof in the New York Times about how jails have become our mental hospitals.
Yep.
Yeah. You know her more as an enthusiastic dancer that once threw you into the bushes at one of my parties.
She's,
right. You don't know her as a psychologist. You know her more as a dancer.
And, yes, yeah, she's.
But she is a dancer, damn it.
Demonstrating the concept of centrifugal force.
Right, right. She's strong. Okay.
Well, you want to be if you're working in a
right.
prison.
Exactly. Exactly. You never know when you're going to have to duck a shiv. All right. So anyway, lots to get to. The entire half of the country is closed.
Yeah.
Closed for business. Frozen over.
Is Roland going to be?
Yes, I spoke to him. He's got to fly, I don't know, 16 places first. He's flying.
Okay. All right. I was worried.
Something. Miami. I don't know.
He posted a picture of his terrace.
Right.
And it is covered with.
It looks like Alaska.
It does look like Alaska.
Yes.
He was probably wearing mukluks at the
point. He was telling our Phoenix Sexy Liberal Theater, he said, Stephanie's been trying to get me to move to the East Coast for 3 years. I think she has a weather machine.
The West Coast, you mean?
West Coast. West Coast. Right.
He's on the East Coast.
Right. Which just looks like a frozen wasteland. I think, you know, we just gotta pack it in for that half of the country. Everybody out here.
Everybody
Let's
out.
Go. Everybody in the pool.
Well, I'm gonna be in the pool this weekend. Our hotel has a pool, and it's gonna be 90.
So
in
we have
Phoenix, yeah.
Drought out here and
right.
frozen tundra on the
right.
east. It's
right.
We're two different planets.
Right.
We're
you
Tatooine
know,
and Hoth.
We have a bunch of, you know what we have to talk about? What we have not talked about yet is Keystone Pipeline. And we have three environmental guests booked, I think not two next week, one the week after.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a piece in the New York Times, Jim, about the end of snow. And they're saying, despite the fact we're watching the Winter Olympics, even over there, you've seen it's like 60.
Yeah.
There's like brown spots at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And just about climate change. And
the
all these doofuses, look at how cold it is from the East Coast, dude. Where's the global warming now, Al Gore? Oh.
Yeah. They did pick a city
that's
with palm trees.
Temperate. Yes.
No, but this piece is talking about by, I don't know what it is, like, you know, two Olympics from now, there's going to be significantly less places that could even host a
right.
Winter Olympics because
right.
of, you know.
It's it for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
If that happens, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll talk about all that as we continue 18 minutes after the hour. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet.
The ultimate Valentine's Day song.
For me it is.
Oh. L.A. face with an Oakland booty.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It is 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Happy snowpocalypse, everybody.
Mm.
So I think DC got 10 inches. Fill in your own joke. Take it.
Did you just say take it?
Yes. Let's see. And I believe Philadelphia got
15.
Philadelphia got 15
Take
inches.
It.
Whoa.
Take it. Wow.
What? Okay. And then New York is somewhere in between. I think 12 inches.
Sure.
New York took 12 inches.
Take it.
Do it.
I'm not.
All right.
Not going there.
I can't believe she said that.
Well, listen, wouldn't be the first time Washington screwed up, but you know.
Hey.
Quang. All right.
Quang.
Mayor de Blasio, who is 75 feet tall, I'm told.
He's a very tall man.
Right.
Taller than Al Roker. I think he could take Al Roker in a fight.
Exactly. They're fighting. Okay.
We, unlike certain other cities in this country, we don't shut down in the face of some adversity. Based on the information we had, it was abundantly clear we were not going to have the kind of overwhelming snow that would make it impossible for kids to get to school.
Al Roker. Let's hope he does not do a Roker in his pants over this, but he is...
Sounds like he's about ready to. He's furious.
Yes, he, Al Roker is very angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry because he tends to lose control.
Bodily functions?
Right.
Yeah.
He's very angry, Jim, with Bill de Blasio. New York City mayor blamed meteorologists for botching their snow forecasts, thereby giving the city grounds to keep public schools open. Early weather forecast showed just 3 inches of snow coming, he argued. It's now 9.5 inches. That's when, it's cold, so it wasn't, you know.
Sure.
There was significant shrinkage. Right. That's when Al Roker opened his Twitter account. He said, how dare New York City mayor's office throw us under the school bus. Forecast was on time and on the money. Rumpf. Hmm. Ooh, weathermen get very, very exercised.
Yes.
Yes.
They get a little, defensive.
Right.
I'm not defensive. You're the one who's defensive. Shut up.
Okay.
We didn't get it wrong. You got it wrong.
You got it wrong. The snow got it wrong.
Okay. The mayor again.
I respect Al Roker a lot. Watched him on TV for many, many years. It's a different thing to run a city than to give the weather on TV.
Oh,
snap.
Snap.
And Al responded,
I know a weather girl from here in L.A., and there's always, like, you feel bad because you don't want to. She actually went to meteorology school, and you don't want to fill in the joke there. A weather person in L.A.
What?
We get weather.
Right. Okay.
Occasionally. I mean, you know, there's a reason why Dallas Raines dances on TV while giving the weather. He moves all over the place.
Right.
Does a
It's always rain season because. all right, Mayor de Blasio.
The National Weather Service gave us a projection. What we got here was certainly the high end of the projection and then some, and faster and earlier than was expected.
Take it.
You know what happened. When it comes faster and earlier than it's expected, it's a lot more inches than you thought. Yeah. It is not. It's nothing to fool around with. That can be
the
surprising.
Snow barely had time to get its pants off.
That point.
Take it's going to be my
right?
new water weenie.
Right?
Take it.
You know. God. Sometimes you're, you know.
What am I doing on this show?
Expecting, I don't know. You're expecting, suddenly it's John Hamm. You're like, what? Oh, my God. What is happening? Okay. All right, so this piece in the New York Times I was talking about, I just thought it's interesting. So we're in the middle of this whole Keystone Pipeline debate. By the way, do you have any conspiracy theories about this train derailment, Jim? Train carrying Canadian oil derails and leaks in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Just saying. Because that's the whole argument for the Keystone Pipeline it's going to be dirtier. You know, there's more. There's been all these train derailments, and they're saying it's going to come some way, and that's even worse for the environment. I don't know.
The Keystone Pipeline is just as likely to rupture as a train is. Yeah.
Well, right. That's why.
Right.
That's why I'm saying we should post this in the New York Times piece. It was this past Sunday, the end of snow, because it just. I think it is. It really is not. I think it's a climate emergency that we're in. I don't think this is just. Oh, you know, gee, this is something. You know, just because there's a few dopes on Fox News that make the same joke every... Again, as Jim has tried to explain to all y'all many, many times, it's climate change, it's extreme weather, it's not just global warming.
Happening.
They're saying, yes, while it's colder here right now, it is much, much hotter in other parts of the world than it normally is.
And climate and weather are two different things. It's not the same. You can't compare them.
Talking to both of you, Herp and Derp. In the Tea Party Caucus.
And Brian.
All right.
Brian Kilmeade.
Too. Exactly. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Dr. Wanda, my best friend, on prisons and mental health as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She had a nice face, her booty was in place, but Barney don't chase.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, phone number toll free from anywhere. I was just doing my amateur veterinarian work over there. There's something. Max has an ear boogie.
Max has an ear problem.
I hope he didn't get poison oak in his ear.
Well, it's entirely possible.
I know. All right. Kids, Jim, as we were saying, you know her more as an overly enthusiastic dancer. I know her as my best friend for many, many years, and who also happens to be a psychologist in a men's maximum security prison in Northern California. Dr. Wanda, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's to you all.
You too, Wanda.
You too.
It's quite the introduction as the enthusiastic dancer.
Well, you know, as someone that has launched Jim into bushes in my yard during a dance party.
I come by that very justified.
Yes.
You're demonstrating centrifugal force. And,
exactly. Wendy, you obviously read Nicholas Kristof's piece that everybody's talking about, and it's entitled Inside a Mental Hospital Called Jail, and no one would know about this better than you. It's interesting. I mean, the first one he highlights is Chicago. He says the largest mental health center in America is a huge compound here in Chicago with thousands of people suffering from manias, psychosis, and other disorders, all surrounded by high fences and barbed wire. Just one thing, it's a jail. The only way to get treatment is to be arrested. And this is a huge problem, isn't it?
It is an enormous problem, and it's become a problem in prisons and jails, because literally right now, over 74% of people receiving mental health treatment are in prisons and jails. And it is because we have failed so miserably to really care about the mentally ill and basic human thriving and what helps support human beings to thrive. Severe mental illness is on the one end of the continuum, but along that is just systems and supports that allow people the basics to survive and thrive, and we have not done that. So the default has been that people that are severely mentally ill, they end up in our prisons and jails, and that is not what they were intended to be, but that is in fact what we find now.
We'll get to that in a minute, but yeah. More than half of the prisoners in the U.S. have a mental health problem, according to a Justice Department study among female inmates. Almost three-quarters have a mental disorder. And, you know, Nicholas Kristof makes an interesting point. He says psychiatric disorders are the only kind of sickness that we as a society regularly respond to, not with sympathy, but with handcuffs and incarceration. And as more humane and cost-effective ways of treating mental illness have been cut back, that's key. We increasingly resort to the law enforcement toolbox, jails and prisons. Because we obviously have talked about your job and we sort of joke about it, and because I remember you started in Charlie Manson's prison and, you know, working with the guys that literally Charlie Manson was like, those guys are too crazy. I can't be with those guys. They need to be in a segregated unit. But I mean, it really is serious. I mean, how does it, in your capacity, like, do you feel like you can help people that are at that point when in your capacity as a psychologist there?
One of the interesting things is that literally, and the sad things, is that for many people, the first time they ever even have access to mental health care is in prison or jail. And these are people that have chronic mental illness. And a lot of times they get caught up in this correctional system because they literally don't have the capacity to even reality test, to function on the most basic level. So, of course, eventually they get arrested and then they're paroled, but they don't have the wherewithal to keep the terms of their parole. And it's this vicious cycle. And over time, there has sprung up specialties in correctional mental health care and general health care precisely because we have not provided it in a preventative or community-based way. And this has ended up being our default system. It is far from ideal. It's not where we need to be starting, but it is where we are.
I mean, it's interesting that, you know, Nicholas quotes the Cook County Sheriff. He says the first person to say the system is barbaric is their jailer. He said it's criminalizing mental illness. He says the system is abhorrent and senseless, as well as astronomically expensive way to treat mental illness, but he has no choice but to accept schizophrenic, bipolar, depressive, and psychotic prisoners delivered by local police forces. Goes on to say people are not officially incarcerated because of their psychiatric ailments, like you were just, you know, referring to, but that's the unintended effect. Sheriff Dart says although some mentally ill people commit serious crimes, the great majority are brought in for offenses that flow from mental illness. And then it's a vicious cycle, right?
It is a very vicious cycle, and it ends up, not only are we like 50 years behind what we knew even 50 years ago, we have so many more advances in science in terms of understanding brain health and behavioral consequences. We have so much more information, but yet a lot of our policymakers and our community values in terms of what policies and systems get created are based on really old, stigmatized beliefs. And in fact, I mean, sitting there right at the table amongst the three of you, the reality is everybody knows someone has suffered from, in their lifetime, is going to suffer from some form of mental illness.
Well, listen, there's a reason that my best friend is a psychologist. I mean, nobody knows this better than you.
But it's a human problem. And right. I think that's where we're really failing to see that mental health is a human problem, that there are basics that we all need to survive and thrive, and we're not providing those things. And we're actually stigmatizing it so that it ends up that, you know, one of the reasons that Christoph was saying that corrections has no choice but to accept the mentally mm-hmm. ill, because legally, once they're incarcerated, you have to give them treatment, which is the correct right. thing to mm-hmm. do. But it would be nice if there were a lot of other choices preventatively. You right. know, someone has cancer or they have dementia, we don't incarcerate them for that and then give them treatment.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was really struck by what you just said. We had Antoinette Tuff on yesterday, you know, the school bookkeeper that prevented this kid, school shooting a while back, but
yeah.
by just pure, like, human love and empathy yeah. that he reached out to this kid, and you think, I mean, that was what was struck, you know, it struck me in Nick's article that the sheriff is quoted as saying, how will we be viewed 20, 30, 50 years from now? We'll be looked on as those who locked up all the mentally ill people. It really is one of those things so rich with irony. The same society that abhorred the idea that we lock people up in mental hospitals, now we lock people up in jails.
Absolutely. And Antoinette Tuff is correct, because there are just basics. You know, we all, as human beings, have basics that we need: food, shelter, clothing, a sense of safety, a sense of well-being, a sense of contribution. There are just basics to human beings feeling stable, just that we all share in common. And then you look at what most people have been suffering with: economic instability, fewer and fewer resources. All of these things in a healthy person can create mental anxiety and depression and illness.
Well,
so to me, it's also, we got to look at what creates human thriving so that we're preventing it as well as taking care of the problem that exists, that we have so many incarcerated mentally ill.
I'm not a doctor, but I recommend more spooning in general.
Yes, love and affection, and compassion.
Right. Even strangers.
Yes, and courage, oh, you know, to face the reality of what this is as a society.
Well, I mean, one
spooning
line
would certainly be better than knifing.
Right.
If we're talking about cutlery. I think
right,
it.
Right.
Thank you, Jim.
You know, one line I was struck by in here, Wanda, was some people commit, some people come here to get medication. They commit a crime to get in. Mm. Taxpayers spend as much as $300 or $400 a day supporting patients with psychiatric disorders while they're in jail, partly because the mentally ill require medication and extra supervision and care. And, you know, the sheriff put it, we're systematically shut down all the mental health facilities, so the mentally ill have nowhere else to go. We've become the de facto mental health hospital. And Jim sort of alluded to it with his Reagan impression, but, right, I mean, when they said Reagan shut all the mental hospitals and just right. let yeah. everybody out. I mean, where are we now, Wanda? What do we do? Because you're right, it's an enormous, you and I have talked about, you know, the mental health part of all this gun violence, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, how important mental health is, right?
Well,
and if you look at it, and Jim's absolutely right, when it did start with that, and it also, that stigmatization of mental health problems has continued as well. And what ends up happening is the average citizen, I have talked to so many people who have a loved one that is in a severe mental health crisis. You used to be able to go to an emergency room, and there was a whole mental health floor there that you could access professional care. People just in their everyday lives, much like veterans with PTSD, are kind of left to fend for themselves. They don't have a place to go. They don't have an
right.
emergency place to go. So we don't
yeah.
have resources in the community that allow people, even families that have the support, they're left trying to be their own physician, psychologist, you know, to deal with these very complex issues on their own, which is really quite horrible.
Well,
and then you
right.
look at the disenfranchised and poor, where do they go? They have no place to go, so they end up in our prisons.
Right. Well, you know, we just had our good friend Liz Fitzgerald, the new director of Justice for Vets, on. I'm sure you're familiar with her.
Yes.
Hot Bree in the City.
And, quite an impressive woman.
Right. But, I mean, this is exactly what she's talking about, why we need mental health courts and drug courts and veterans courts, because, you know, you're right. Like, all of these people end up in prison that really need treatment. And I think particularly as you just sort of were implying about PTSD, it's a huge problem. I mean, you know, we sent them into all these wars, many of them unnecessarily, right, like Iraq, and they come back broken.
After 10 deployments,
right,
in some cases.
Right, yeah, multiple deployments. And you know, like you say, they never had a history of crime before they left. And you're absolutely right. And then when you see that suicides have passed combat deaths, that's just a national disgrace.
It's a disgrace, and it's staggering, and it's so unnecessary. And this is where we really need to have people at the table making these policy decisions, making these decisions that actually understand what mental illness is. I think this is another big argument for people that are making these policies and decisions. We need diversity at that table to be able to really problem solve in a logical and informed way. Because this PTSD is not just limited to veterans. You have so many people in America right now that have the same effects from PTSD, from prolonged poverty or joblessness or just the stress of not being able to make a living wage but working 80 hours a week. You have so many of these same effects going on, but they're not highlighted as much because they're kind of brushed under the rug as,
right,
that's somebody else. But what's happening within the walls of jails and prison is just a microcosm of the bigger problem that's happening outside the walls,
yeah,
of prison.
I think the same thing I thought in 1981 when we were at USC, and that is Dr. Wanda needs to be in charge of everything.
Everything ever.
Ever. In the history of ever.
Well, I think we make a great team. But,
I don't know if you want Stephanie in charge of everything.
I am. I'm a walking case study.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Dr. Wanda von Kleist, my bestest friend and my soulmate, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's to you, sweetheart, and to all your loved ones there. And,
all right. All right, honey.
Yes. Keep fighting the good fight. We
you
need
too.
More. We need more information on this, and we need to take care of what makes human beings thrive.
I need you to
not
dance,
just survive.
That's right. I need you to dance with Jim more often to keep him in line.
I would love to give him another throw into the bushes.
Okay, that sounded really
Did
dirty.
That really happen?
That sounded dirty.
Yeah.
All right, we love you, Wanda.
It was tear dancing.
Goodbye. All right. Okay. Bye bye. Sounded dirty.
Yeah.
Yes, that really happened. That's not just, that's wow. Stephanie Miller lore. Yes.
Wow.
I saw it happen in slow motion. I was like, oh, Jeff. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. All right, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. How the awesome is my best friend Wanda? Awesome.
She is. I love her. I've always loved her.
Yeah, right. All right, speaking of awesome.
And she's a looker, too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, Jim?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was going to do this. Like, all right, never mind. Okay, that's like, you know, she's an impressive rack, doesn't
mm-hmm.
she?
It's more impressive than yours.
Well, that's not much. It's a low bar there.
Better than yours, damn right.
Yeah.
Better than yours.
Yeah, it brings all the boys to the yard,
yes,
for sure.
Yes, it does.
Oh, the prison yard,
get thrown
in her
in
case.
The prison. Well, yeah.
It brings Charlie Manson to the yard.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, well.
Throw them into the bushes.
All right. Gavin Newsom, Lieutenant Governor of California, coming up in hour number three. Looky here, Gene in Phoenix. Welcome to Phoenix. We are all going. You guys going today? I'm going tomorrow.
Yep.
Steph, very excited about your coming to Phoenix. No better way to catch an overview of the desert and experience the weather here than from the top of Camelback Mountain.
Camelback Mountain, it's a great hike.
One of Barry Goldwater's favorite local hikes.
Yep.
Well, not now.
Well, no.
Love to be your guide up the mountain. Let me know if you're interested in climbing the camel.
Sorry, what?
I've climbed the camel a couple of times.
Me too.
And the squaw.
Okay.
There's a squaw peak. Is a
are we talking about Wanda again? Climbing the camel?
No. All right. Yeah. We are very excited. We're all going. Jim and Chris Lavoy, your fabulous masters of ceremonies for the first 2014 Texas Liberal. That will be tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Orpheum Theater, right?
Yep.
Fort Lauderdale just announced tickets going insane. Oh, and by the way, our sexy liberal cause, the Gabby Giffords Foundation. She and her husband Mark's mm-hmm. foundation. Fort Lauderdale, March 1st. Madison is sold out in March. Chicago just went on sale April 26th, going crazy. And Albuquerque in May. And just announced this morning, that's why you know Audra in Minneapolis was going to do a new song.
Hello. Oh, hiya, Sandy. Yeah. Yeah, I heard today on the radio. Yeah, I'm going. You betcha I'm going. This winter is the stop. I've just been freezing my keister out, you know? Come back. It's terrible. It's freezing cold. You it's been just terrible. I can't believe it. It's crashed.
Oh, you don't say. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making its way to Minneapolis in June, a.k.a. the Twin Cities.
Oh,
I know what some of you big city, no bra wearing, hairy-legged, sexy livers might say about that.
Oofta!
The Oofta. Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, starring John Fugelsang, Carlos Elsrocky, and Stephanie Miller. Yeah, Sandy, I am really looking forward to it. Because this winter is just, it's been ridiculous.
It's going to be a real good time, don't you know?
You betcha it is.
That's the Minneapolis pronunciation of Elsrocky. It's not Elsrocky.
It's not a lot of those up in Minneapolis, don't you know?
El Torito.
All right. Speaking of people from Minneapolis, so my buddy Ed Schultz has been taking a lot of heat over being for the Keystone Pipeline.
I see people, his arguments, though.
I know. I was just going to say, I feel like this is like whether it's the primary Obama and Clinton or whether it's Snowden or whatever. Have a debate and have disagreements. Here's the bit that was actually a great piece. Where was this? LA Times op-ed for Obama, procrastination on Keystone might be a virtue. I think, you know, again, as I was saying before the break, we are in a climate emergency. I really think that
Keystone could make it worse.
Right. No, that's exactly it. I'm totally with the environmentalists on this. And yet, part of what is happening is, I heard, what's his name, Governor Schweitzer on his show. He's like, his house is off the grid. He's green in every other way. He's obviously for the pipeline. And a lot of it's this thing we just talked about, these train derailments that they're saying they're going to get the oil anyway, and it could be, you know, more harm to the environment unless they figure this out. And I guess the other thing is political, that there's these, I don't know, I think it's five or so Democratic senators that very likely could lose and have the Senate go Republican. You go, is that a bigger catastrophe for the country? Can you imagine the House being this? I mean, the Senate being the same as the House run by Republicans?
Yeah.
Even if Hillary Clinton gets in, we won't get anything done.
Right.
I mean, it's just
right.
In
the short term, I agree with all of that. However, in the long term, we need to get off of oil, period.
Yeah.
So,
And I was saying, you know, for all there being all the snow, obviously, across the country, this New York Times piece I thought was just really startling, you know, it called the end of snow. And, you know, talking about us all watching the Winter Olympics, what viewers might not see is the 16 million cubic feet of snow that was stored under insulated blankets last year to make sure those slopes remained white, or the hundreds of snowmaking guns that have been running around the clock to keep them that way. And they're still having trouble because the temperature is getting so... officials canceled. Right, officials canceled two Olympic test events last February in Sochi after several days of temperatures above 60 degrees, and a lack of snowfall had left ski trails bare and brown in spots. But you got to hear a couple of the statistics in this, in terms of this whole debate, and we will continue 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I love you. 1-800-STEPHANIE. 1-800-SHISH. I didn't mean you. You just happen to be in my sight line.
You should say that to your dogs.
Max and Fred, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, Max got a love letter, in fact.
Oh.
In time for Valentine's Day. Let's see here. Oh, from Molly. Look how pretty Molly is, Max. Let's see, Tom and Anastasia in Minnesota. Molly and Max. Hi, Steph. Molly wanted to send a picture to get this dating thing started with Max. She's open to a long-distance relationship. We're still in Switzerland. Listening to you on AM 950 out of Minneapolis via iPhone app.
Hmm.
Max, look how beautiful Molly is. Oh, my goodness.
Is Molly one of those dogs?
It's dog a date for Valentine's Day.
They're in Switzerland?
Yes. Are, she looks like a Bernie, part Bernese Mountain Dog, yes.
Okay, one of those dogs with the barrels of brandy.
No, that's a St. Bernard, you doofus.
What? I think that'd be perfect.
So do Fred and Max have to learn Schweizerdeutsch?
Sure. Okay.
Or Francais?
Romanche?
Or Italiano?
Romanche.
Romanche.
Yeah. Another love letter from Lynette.
Oh.
A lot of love from Minnesota. We just announced Minnesota Sexy Liberal, Minneapolis Sexy Liberal in June to this morning. That must be it. Hi, Steph. I listen to you via podcast every morning during my paper route, and then I fall asleep watching you on free speech. It's okay because I'm also recording it as I am pathetic.
Oh, good.
No, you are not, Lynette. You are perfect in every way, and I love you. Speaking of love, oh, Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal. Hi, Steph, Chris, Jim. My partner and I will be at the Parker Playhouse on March 1st. We'd be delighted to take you to the 10:30 service at Sunshine Cathedral Sunday morning. If you're interested, your devoted fan, Mike. I'm not so much a church person.
I might burst into flame if I step into a church again. It's been a while.
Kind of a hangover person. Particularly after Sexy Liberal, but thank you, Mike.
Aw. That was nice of them.
That was very, very sweet. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Oh, speaking of love, what is it? Oh, Steven in Chicago regarding pasta, because as we all know, I made pasta during the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Had the leftovers today. Delicious. When Sexy Liberal comes to Chicago in April, hope you're going to bring enough pasta for everybody. Yikes. That's a 2,800-seat theater. I better...
That's a lot of pasta there.
That's a big vat of pasta. It's a big bag of pasta.
How about some Italian beef?
Well, I used to work right across the street from the Chicago Theater, and I know of a great Italian beef place right around the corner from there.
Really? Yeah. Sausage?
Italian beef sandwich.
Oh, not sausage.
No.
Okay. All right.
It's different. Yeah.
You have your fingers poised to do something, and I forget what it is.
Sexy Liberal Fort Lauderdale promo?
Oh, correct. We were just invited for Pride. That's
Start
right.
Playing,
this promo contains material not suitable for stick-up-the-butt conservatives.
Just in time to kick off Spring Break 2014. The hottest, craziest, most off-the-hook progressive head-turners are hitting South Florida.
Yay.
It's Sexy Liberals Gone Wild, Fort Lauderdale.
So hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On March 1st, the official start of Spring Break 2014.
Springtime for...
Stephanie Miller.
The world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Join John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and the pride of progressive media, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available at parkerplayhouse.com or by calling 954-462-0222. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 1st, at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, yeah.
Get your tickets now. Go to parkerplayhouse.com.
Yeah. You know what? By the way, in 2 days of on sale, we've done in single tickets what we did in 2 months last time.
That's a lot.
We played for, you know what I'm going to say it is, Jim? It's the Jackie Factor.
The Jackie Factor. Jackie Factor.
Exactly. Jackie Schechner, who was with us yesterday and is going to be with us every week for Jackie's Healthcare Corner, who is from Florida.
That's right.
Is going to go visit Mommy, and she's going to do panel with us, as is Judy Tenuta. And there you go.
Couldn't happen.
May have led to the ticket explosion, but that's a small theater. I would hurry and get those tickets. Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook for all the upcoming shows.
Yep.
All right. A Jactor.
Jactor.
Okay. All right. I can't. Oh, I was going to say I was laughing about the that I write to Judy Tenuta in Tenuta Ease.
Yes.
Because you have to. I just got subject line. Oh, goddess. That's what I was laughing.
Wow.
Yes. I said, oh, Judy. Accordion sting.
How do you spell?
Could you come and do panel with
sting? How do you?
I just put it in parentheses.
Okay.
And then I told you she wrote back. Oh, what would be required of the goddess?
Did she say that?
Yes, and then she said, and then she signed it. It could happen.
I love her so much.
So it is happening. All right. I know Roland Scahill, a sexual liberal tour director who is a mere zygote. What's he, in his 30s or something?
He's
it's ridiculous.
Than me. Yeah.
Yes. But he loves her so much. He was so excited about this. He said, I used to listen to her cassettes when I was 12 years old in the car. How could my mom not have known I was gay? All right. So.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement there. Okay, so we have been talking about, because obviously half the country of frozen tundra.
Yes.
Including where Roland has been sending us pictures in New York City.
He did see Ned, though. Ned, his pigeon.
Ned the pigeon has survived the snowpocalypse?
Yes.
Snowmageddon?
He created a little pocket in the snow next to his window for Ned to sit
I've met Ned in person.
Have you really?
Yes, last time I was there. His pigeons go very nice.
I wonder if it's a different pigeon every day. They just happen
probably
to look alike.
I just hope they're
how can you tell pigeons apart, really?
Well, that is pigist.
You're a pigist.
I confuse my Samuel L. Jackson pigeon with my Lawrence Fishburne pigeon.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
You're not going to get away with that. Anywho. So we were just talking about the Keystone Pipeline because...
Right.
This is one of those issues. I was saying I can see both sides, but I just, after...
I've looked at oil from both sides now.
Really?
From up and down. Anyway, I was reading it's just because this article really struck me in the New York Times, The End of Snow, and it's talking about as we're watching the Winter Olympics how there may not be many venues left for Winter Olympics to be held. And they were talking about... we've been seeing this already in Sochi, but blah, blah, blah. A climatologist, what does he know, analyzed the potential venues for future winter games. I just thought this was so striking. He thought that with a rise in the average global temperature of more than 7 degrees Fahrenheit possible by 2100, there might not be many snowy regions left in which to hold the games. He concluded that of the 19 cities that have hosted the Winter Olympics, as few as 10 might be cold enough by mid-century to host them again. By 2100, that number shrinks to 6. The planet has warmed 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit since the 1800s, and as a result, snow is melting. And this is why the debate is over. I mean, I can't believe we just... this is why elections matter. Did Fred just burp?
Yep, he did.
Do you know how much more greenhouse gas he just put?
Whoa, my God.
Do you know how much warmer it's going to be in this studio?
There goes another Winter Olympics.
Woo! What do you feed him?
Oh, I gave him a bite of leftover pasta. Sorry.
Oh,
no wonder.
Oh, God, that smells.
Could have been a garlic fart. I apologize.
Garlic burp. Oh, geez.
I apologize.
Oh,
okay, this is important. Pay attention. I'm blinding people with science.
And garlic burps.
Right. See, I was doing, it was like a 8th grade science fair. I had Fred come in and demonstrate.
Just hope he doesn't barf on me.
He's not going to. It was only one bite. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, in the last 47 years, listen to this. These are fun facts, by the way.
Okay.
Pay attention to me. Are you paying attention to me?
What?
What?
In the last 47 years, 1 million square miles of spring snow cover has disappeared from the northern hemisphere. Europe has lost half its alpine glacial ice since the 1850s.
Yep.
And if climate change is not reined in, 2/3 of European ski resorts will be likely to close by 2100. The same could happen in the U.S., where in the Northeast, more than half of the 103 ski resorts may no longer be viable in 30 years because of warmer winters. As far as the western part of the country, it will lose an estimated 25 to 100% of its snowpack by 2100 if greenhouse gas emissions are not curtailed, reducing snowpack in Park City, Utah to zero and relegating skiing to the top quarter of Ajax Mountain in Aspen. The facts are straightforward. The planet is getting hotter. But anyway, I mean, this is just, it was written in the spirit of, because it's the Winter Olympics and we're watching a lot of the skiing, but he makes a point at the end. He said, this is not about skiing, it's about snow, a vital component of the Earth's climate system and water cycle. When it disappears, what follows is a dangerous chain reaction of catastrophes like forest fires, drought, mountain pine beetle infestation, yep. degraded river habitat, loss of hydroelectric power, dried up aquifers, and shifting weather patterns, not to mention that more than a billion people around the world, including about 70 million in the western U.S., rely on snowmelt for their fresh water supply, which is what's happening out here in California.
And fracking is making it worse because aquifers right. are being poisoned by all the fracking chemicals.
Right, right. And as I was saying, on cue, another train has derailed carrying oil. I'm not being conspiratorial, Jim, but I'm just saying. It comes right ahead of a Senate hearing concerning the safety of transporting crude by rail, which has become obviously a major.
Aye.
This is a lot of people that support the Keystone are citing this as this is why it could be worse for the environment, yada, yada. 120-car Norfolk Southern Corporation train carrying heavy Canadian crude oil derailed and spilled in western Pennsylvania on Thursday, adding to a string of recent accidents that have prompted calls for stronger safety standards.
But the pipeline has accidents, too.
Right.
Right. No, I know. 19 of the derailed cars were carrying oil, four of which spilled between 3,000 and 4,000 gallons of oil. So,
well,
anyway.
We've got to get rid of the internal combustion engine. It's like 19th
yeah,
century
that's
technology.
What we need to yeah. be concentrating on is
yeah.
getting rid of our dependence on oil.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll break it down again, but an interesting battle, and again, once again, not necessarily falling on strictly partisan lines, but we will talk about it as we continue 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Sarah Bell tweeted that she could hear Fred Burp on iHeartRadio, 92.1 The Mic.
Goodbye. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. He's proud of his, like I am.
You probably
Pardon
shouldn't
on, I
feed
mean.
Dogs pasta with garlic.
Well, it was only one bite.
And it's not even pasta. It's like some kind of rice pasta.
It's brown rice pasta. It's healthy. Okay. Natan, our free speech director, enjoys my burps when we're recording commercials after the show.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what he also enjoyed yesterday?
What?
Sad cat.
Don't do that.
He really liked that. Okay.
Don't do that.
After the show is when I complete my nervous breakdown for the day.
And then I know. I'm here for
then,
it all.
And then go to take my nap. My sad little life. Okay. All right. So we've been talking about, obviously, you know, we're having snow in half the country. So yeah. it's herp and derp season on Fox News. There's cold in the East Coast in the winter and there's snow. There is no global warming. Yes, but as we were saying, you know, this whole debate over the Keystone, I think is really interesting. I thought it was a piece in the LA Times. We should post this. Mm-hmm. For Obama, procrastination and Keystone might be a virtue, by Doyle McManus, and it's a really good reasoned piece about it. But you know, Jim, it's one of those issues that it's a tough one. The debate over the Keystone pipeline may look like just another example of the partisan divide on Capitol Hill. If only it were that easy. President Obama's dilemma over whether to approve the pipeline, which would move oil from Canada to Texas, has more to do with disagreements within the Democratic Party than with foreign relations. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go again. My buddy Ed Schultz has been taking a beating over this. And we're having, I think, two or three environmental guests next week, or maybe two next week, one the week after. Because I think this is one of those really important issues. And you were saying, Chris, I think it's going to have ripple effects for a long time. And mm-hmm. there's bigger issues involved. But at any rate, Doyle writes, environmentalists, including some of the Democrats' biggest donors, have seized on Keystone as a test of Obama's commitment to halting global warming. They say that, and we've heard this before, this oil from Alberta's tar sands is the dirtiest oil on Earth, mm-hmm. and that refusing to build a pipeline would be a historic step away from petroleum, which you were saying. Of course, we need to do. But four Democratic senators whose seats are in danger, and this is what we always talk about, you know, is these are people that we disagree with on a lot of issues.
Sure.
We go, this is why we don't have a public option. This is why. And yet you go, what happens if the Senate goes Republican? Then it's 10 times worse. But anyway, it's, you know,
but
the usuals.
But what happens if all the aquifers and streams are poisoned by all this oil.
Well, that be, that could be hastened by having all Republicans in Republican-led Senate.
No, exactly. So, this is, you know, it's the usuals, right? Mary Landrieu, Mark Pryor, Mark Begich, Kay Hagan have strongly urged Obama to approve the pipeline. Many labor unions support the project, too, because of the jobs it would create. Mm-hmm. And here's where I'm torn, because I'm an environmentalist and I'm a big union girl. I, you know, and God knows unions need our support these days. I mean, it's...
Yeah, so you see oil from both sides now.
You know, how about if you just worry about the buttons over there? Okay.
Which are made of plastic, which come from petroleum.
From petroleum.
So.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, here you go again, where there's an issue where it's not just strictly Democratic. You know, again, within the Democratic Party, there are people that support, you know, that really feel, you know, hey, unions need our support more than ever. And then, you know, when you're an environmentalist, you understand that this is not just some, like, theoretical problem. This is real, and it's...
Well, I think you can break it down into a short-term thing and a long-term
thing. Right, Well, that's why I thought this was a great breakdown of the whole story. Then there's the painful crux of Obama's political conundrum. If he says yes to the pipeline, he'll infuriate environmentalists, alienate important donors, and disenchant many of the young voters his party needs to turn out in the fall. But if he says no, vulnerable Democratic candidates in energy-friendly states could suffer on Election Day. A net loss of 6 seats would deliver control of the Senate to the GOP. See, and this is what happens, Chris. When we get to this point, what would I do? I would quit.
Or cry.
That's why I couldn't be president. I would do all three. I would cry, I would quit, and then I would drink. This is why I will never be president.
I'd start among with drinking.
Among a few other reasons.
Yeah, well, a few skeletons in that closet.
Woo, clackety, clackety, clackety. Another factor has to do with world affairs. At a UN-sponsored conference in Paris next year, Obama hopes to nudge other countries to join the U.S. in adopting more ambitious goals for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Any decision we make on Keystone will affect our ability to lead in climate change negotiations, one official noted. So what will the president do? I mean, again, here you are. We're like, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those really, literally sticky
wicket.
Tar sand wicket.
Can you even put a wicket into tar sands?
Probably not. The State Department's report says, yes, the oil from Alberta's tar sands is 17% dirtier than most of the oil extracted in the U.S., and its transport and refining could add 27 million tons of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere each year. But the report says a U.S. decision to block the pipeline wouldn't significantly reduce the problem because Canada intends to move the oil whether the Keystone is built or not. Indeed, if Canada ships most of the oil by rail, the environmental consequences could be even worse, and the U.S. would lose out on the pipeline's economic rewards.
Can't they ship it by rail?
And on cue, we have another rail disaster with spilling tons of oil.
Can't they ship it by rail on Canadian property? Why do they even have to go through the U.S.?
Well, because it needs to get to other places.
Why can't it go to Canadian ports? Why does it have to go to U.S. ports?
Well, let me Google that for you, and we'll continue. Wait a minute. I'm producing now. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Small town America. Cell phones, texting, blog, and
Stephanie Miller.
That's who.
Oh no. Look how beautiful. Kira, happy Valentine's Day to Max from Sierra. Oh, she's so pretty. All right, 1-800-STEP-1. Max has a girlfriend. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of love, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom coming up next hour. It's the 10-year anniversary of him marrying the first gay couples out here in California, just in time for this big Virginia decision.
Yeah.
By the way, in case you haven't heard, a federal judge has ruled that Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, making it the first state in the South to have its voter-approved prohibition overturned. This is big. Huge.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. So you made an interesting comment before the break. We were saying, why can't the Canadians ship this oil to their own ports rather than ship it, you know,
Canada
by rail?
Because
we just had another huge spill. And
huge.
Thank you. No, it's too late for that now. Anyway, because this is obviously a big debate, we were saying. Anyway, and we'll post this Doyle McManus piece, but it's just, like what I was saying, we've got, you know, environmentalists, obviously, on one side, younger voters, a lot of us that are really concerned about you know, environmental issues, including climate. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you know, you've got maybe the balance of the Senate hanging there. It's the labor unions. I can see why Ed Schultz feels the way he does. He's from that area. He's mm-hmm. a big union guy. But the other thing I've heard that I think is important is these are temporary jobs, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I don't know that that's
to build it. Yes, but it's going to require maintenance. You know,
that when the Republicans keep talking about jobs and the Keystone, like that's the only solution for jobs. When they won't pass a jobs bill, they won't do anything that economists have said is proven to would have added millions of jobs by
compared to the national unemployment rate. Yeah. The number of jobs it creates is minuscule.
I mean, a bigger stimulus would have done that without hurting the environment. I mean,
and I'd like to see people working on windmills and solar.
Yeah. Right. Those are jobs, and they're jobs
and
that, you know, why can't we do both? Yeah, no, exactly. Anyway.
When talking about all of the above, they mean oil and gas.
Yeah.
Line one might have an answer for you.
Well, of course, line one always does. That's where the answers go. Dennis in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Steph. Hi. You're a real heartthrob. You know that?
Why, thank you.
Listen, two things. One, I heard where the Canadians, two-thirds of the Canadians do not want a pipeline through their country because of environmental reasons.
Uh-huh.
And they've been trying for years.
Oh, that's nice. Give it to them. Yeah.
So then they try to come to the United States and do it, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're they've got Louis Gohmert. They'll do it. Yeah.
Right. Secondly, nobody ever mentions anything about, I think there's like 156 different chemicals that have to be mixed with that slurry to actually make it go through the pipe.
Yeah.
But it gets down here. What are we going to do with all them nasty chemicals?
Yeah.
We're stuck with them then.
Yeah.
Put them in the water like they're doing in West Virginia.
Yeah, put it in the water. That's what.
And tell people it's safe to drink.
Let's ask Duke Energy what we should do with it. Yeah. Thank you, honey. Good points. You know, what they're saying is, I mean, the odds are it's going to get approved, and it's just how that sits with voters' oil rights, especially environmentalists, may depend on what conditions the president imposes on the project and what else he does to address climate change. As we were saying, there's so many other issues involved with this. Obama can and should ask for conditions, he writes, in return for his approval of the pipeline. The EPA has already proposed seeking a commitment from Canada to do more to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. Increased pollution from the tar sands already has caused Canada to miss its own climate change targets. And that's, you know, it's a global issue. Mm-hmm. Another idea offered by environmentalists is that Obama could approve the pipeline on the condition that oil companies agree to sell the refined products that result in the U.S. instead of exporting them. That was your point. Like, why does it have to go through the U.S. if it's going into the world market anyway?
Right. Someone tweeted the oil has to go through the U.S. to the refineries on the Gulf Coast.
Right.
I guess it's a refinery.
And what could go wrong in the Gulf Coast?
Right. Well, yeah.
That would be one thing.
Yeah.
Is that they agree to sell the oil only in the U.S. instead of exporting them. That could have the effect of reducing the amount of oil shipped via the Keystone and also of calling the oil industry's bluff. But, you know, the oil companies are notoriously greedy and they'll make more on the world market. Anyone thinks that they're really going to do that or we can get them to do that? Most important, Obama can take other actions to offset the additional Keystone emissions. Indeed, he already intends to. By June 1st, the EPA is expected to propose a federal regulation to cut carbon emissions from the nation's 1,500 existing power plants, the largest source of U.S. greenhouse gases. If the rules are tough enough, they could eventually result in the shuttering of all of the 600 remaining coal-fired power plants in the country. Doing so would reduce emissions by an amount many times greater than the Keystone pipeline would add. The report is open to comments now. The one that's everybody's talking about, the State Department put out, is open to comments from other federal agencies until the end of April. But there's no deadline for John Kerry to deliver a final recommendation, no deadline for Obama to rule on it. Doyle just finishes by saying it would be easy as well as prudent for the White House to wait until the EPA's power plant regulation is unveiled. If Obama approves Keystone under those circumstances, environmentalists will still be angry, but not nearly as angry as if the president had said yes earlier, I guess, meaning he might have time to get more political stuff that would supposedly help even more environmentally. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. They'll find solace in the steps Obama will have taken to curb global warming by then. This is one case where the procrastination might be a virtue. Tough, you know.
Yeah.
Tough issue.
Someone just emailed me, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they say Canadian law forbids refining that oil because it is so toxic. They want us to.
Oh, well, that's, gee, that shouldn't, nice. That shouldn't set off any alarm bells for us, should it? Diane in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Stephanie. I have the answer to Chris's question why it can't go through Canada.
Okay.
It's because the Canadian people don't want it to go through Canada, right. And it also crosses tribal land,
right.
And they won't let it go.
The First Peoples land, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, right, and again, Diane, I mean, that's... Tell us something. The Canadian people don't want it. It's like, you know, and this is what I'm saying is we unfortunately live in a political environment where our, you know, one side of the aisle, the Republicans, you know, are casting this as the only way to create jobs when yeah. they've passed it, on every other way.
I guess it directly creates 35 jobs.
Really?
Ooh,
oh,
35.
Well, that's certainly.
You know, there are ancillary jobs that it creates, you know, like.
And meanwhile,
industry,
if you read any economist talking about bigger stimulus, jobs, act, all of these things, how many more millions of jobs would have been created by now
yeah.
without dirty...
We
yeah.
should turn the entire Southwest into a giant solar energy...
That's already happening. If you drive on the 15 between Los Angeles and Las Vegas, you see the three giant solar arrays mm-hmm. that they just built at the Nevada State line. Those just went online this week and are starting to generate electricity.
Yeah. Fantastic. And we're seeing more windmills around, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mike in West Virginia. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moose.
Good morning.
Mac and Freddie. Just wanted to go back to one point that Chris made. I think it's really important to realize this. Is yes, okay, Bill, you know, it is a sticky wicket, but building the pipeline, the company's saying, okay, now it's done. Now we want the local and the state guys to do the inspection. And we've seen how well that's worked in West Virginia. That would be my argument.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, these rail accidents are happening. One just happened, and, you know, that makes the case for, oh, well, it's going to cause just as much or worse damage. But the thing is, right now the Keystone Pipeline is hypothetical, so we can go, oh, well, we don't, but as someone said, watch, that happens a few times with the pipeline, and, I mean, then we'll go, oh, we were right, and environmentalists were right, you know. Nina in Nebraska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nina.
Good morning.
Hi.
We love you. We get up every morning to watch you.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, I live in central Nebraska. It goes over the Ogallala Aquifer, the largest underground lake in America.
Mm-hmm.
You contaminate our water, we're sunk.
What? Yeah.
And they're also not going to use U.S. Union members to build that pipeline. They're going to use their own trained people up from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Another thing I'd like to tell you, for more information, go to boldnebraska.org.
All right. We'll
do. We are the Nebraskans. Our leader is Jane Klebb. She's an excellent speaker. She's
awesome.
The one that was just on Ed Schultz, and he is coming to Nebraska to speak to landowners.
Yeah. No, I know he is. I know.
The Oglala Aquifer, I think, provides fresh water to 7 states.
Yeah.
And if you screw that up.
Yeah.
You know,
By the way, I guess the original plan for this pipeline was to go to refineries in Canada on the Pacific Ocean, you know, like Vancouver, British Columbia. But the Canadian Indians refused. And so now it's going to the Gulf of Mexico.
Uh-oh. It's Art by Cracky.
Okay.
Who's the caller? Who's on line 3? Why in Chicago is Art by Cracky?
Hi, Art. Welcome.
Hey. First thing. Excuse me.
Are you okay? You need
I don't have a switch off button. I'm sorry. Listen, first thing I don't wish you a very happy Valentine's.
Thank you, Art. You too.
My thoughts are going with you. It's all full of hearts and roses.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Listen, I know you're not. I want to say this in a nice way. Volcanoes. I've been studying them for a year. Now, Mount St. Helens was a recent one.
Right.
And there was one in. I can't get the name right. El Cachuco, that it erupted in 1917, 7 days without sun.
Uh-huh.
That's carbon. Now, getting back to the facts of Mount St. Helens.
Right.
Every second, 200,000 tons of carbon was emitted by volcano in Mount St. Helens.
Okay.
Now, where'd all that
in 1980.
You see,
that was
these
a long time ago.
That we're killing, there's no such thing as man-made global warming.
No. Because there's volcanoes.
Volcanoes are a one-time event, and all these carbon emissions are ongoing.
Volcanoes, Obama's fault.
Okay. All right.
Now listen.
Okay.
He wants to build bridges, put people to work. I'm that steel is coming from? Not from Chicago, where we had United States Steel, we had Minnesota Steel, we had the Reynolds Steel Mill. They're gone because of carbon. Don't all those I-beams and that did are coming from China.
But how do we get from volcanoes to bridges?
We're putting Chinese to work. That's where all that steel is
and
coming.
Do you see the pollution problems they have in China?
We have a... Really? I'd heard about that. Okay, we have a break here, but...
That's
I'm gonna,
why we
you know
got
what?
Rid of...
Let me take some time to chew on that.
Wow.
Okay.
Because there are volcanoes.
Right. The man global warming is not man-made.
Right. So.
And obviously the volcanoes, President Obama's fault.
Sure.
He never tied it back to the volcanoes.
No. We never... there was not a bridge back to the volcanoes.
No.
Hmm. All right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
First time we've heard the garage on the show.
Larry from Oak Ridge with a happy Valentine's Day. A love letter for me. Dear Aww. Steph, as your number one fan, I'm wearing my Stephanie Miller Valentine's Day t-shirt that says I have a heart on for Stephanie Miller.
Of course.
February 14th, your number one fan, Larry from Oak Ridge. Aw, Larry, that's really... dirty.
Is one of the Oak Ridge boys?
Right.
I believe that Art had a heart on for you.
Really? I'm cranky. Because volcanoes.
I got that. Look at you. I showed you volcanoes.
That was Art versus the volcano. I think Art lost.
Art did. I'm not arguing with you about that. I'm not arguing with you about that.
In case you've just tuned in, Art from Chicago by Cracky, argues that because there are volcanoes, there is no such thing as man-made
global warming.
Right.
Good to know.
And see. Okay. Let's go to some people with some other thoughts. Okay. John in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
How you doing? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Committed sin. my views on the pipeline would be, okay, there's some stipulation. You got to hire enough regulators and inspectors paid by the oil company to ride up and down that canal, not just fly over or depend upon electronic signals to tell you if there's a problem. And they should use vehicles made in this country. You know, people, I don't know about the Democrats, man. I mean, I love them. I'm a Democrat. Boy, they don't know how to play ball. It's just nuts. You know,
I'm confused what you mean. They don't know how to play ball. How?
Well, they, you know, if you want to fight against the pipeline, you put stipulations. Yeah, we'll go for the pipeline because, you know, overall, I think it's safer. But you got to hire enough people. I mean, you were talking about 35 jobs. Well, you know, let's
hire enough people to do what?
To inspect the pipeline. As
okay.
It's constantly flowing.
Right, okay. I'm not sure that's still going to prevent.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, speaking of global warming, how much hot air did this put into the universe? Duck Dynasty star Willie Robertson apparently had a late-night dinner after the State of the Union with Sean Hannity, Newt Gingrich, and Ted Cruz at Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
Well, Sean eats there for free because he does ads for them.
Can you imagine the dinner conversation? Pardon me?
Sean eats there for free because he does ads for them.
Of course, cheap bastard.
Anytime he bets someone that something is going to happen,
you know, he probably got his
it's
wife,
a dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
He got his wife Pro Flowers and a Vermont teddy bear for Valentine's Day.
Because
you know he got that free.
That's what you gave Max and Fred.
Did not. All right.
Oh, by the way, the chicken lady was Sue Loudon.
Right.
Sharon Angle.
Yes.
That the one that wanted to barter a chicken for health care was not Sharon Angle. That was the other right-wing wacko that lost to the... Sue Loudon is the one that...
Lost to Sharon Angle in the
primary.
And
then Sharon Angle lost to Harry Reid.
Right.
They're both right-wing wacko
and
ladies.
Some who proved a point that I was making, the gender wage gap lie, it's not true, according to Hannah Rosen. Talk about
okay,
that
well, that's completely incorrect, but okay, Jim.
No, it's just saying.
What do you mean there's no data?
No, I'm not saying there's a wage differential. I'm saying that the 77 cents to every man's dollar, it's not true, according to Hannah Rosen. And she's a chick, so you have to believe.
Oh, right. She has a vagina, so that she must be right. Okay, let's go. Well, so does Sharon Engel and Sue Loudon.
That's your excuse for many things.
Yeah. I don't use mine. Okay, Tom and Madison.
Okay, so that makes it okay.
Tom and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tom.
Oh, I just wanted to give you guys a call. I actually, my checks get signed by TransCanada and wanted to, I am a liberal, listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Not going to be able to see you in Madison, but would love to do that.
Aw. Well, come to Chicago, April 26th, Chicago Theater. Do it.
I know it.
All right. Okay, fine. Right.
I think it's sold out, isn't it?
What?
No, Chicago Theater's not sold out.
No, not yet. Madison is sold out. All right, go ahead. What you want? So you work for TransCanada, you said.
Yes. And just a couple facts about the pipeline. Almost 1,000 miles of the pipeline are already built and filled with oil.
Mm-hmm.
As far as going over the aquifer, there are almost, I think it's just over 2,000 miles of pipeline that already crossed that aquifer. And as far as TransCanada's employees, one of the largest employees of doing that pipeline will be from Wisconsin. It's Michaels Corporation, which is one of the largest companies in Wisconsin.
Right, but Tom, aren't those by design, they're temporary jobs, right, once the pipeline is built?
Currently there are over 150 TransCanada employees working on the pipeline. Just speaking with the HR guy from TransCanada, they expect that to be over 500 people directly involved in the maintenance of the pipeline and the continuing operation of that. I know that's not a huge number compared to what we need, but the fact is it's way more than 35.
So your take is that we should okay it.
Well, yeah, and I'm kind of a greedy guy working for a gas and oil energy company, but yeah, they should. There's really no reason. All the safety standards have been met. There's some concern about where the pipe came from. They plan on having that pipeline in operation by the end of 2013, and they could not get a U.S. company to build the steel pipe fast enough. So they did have to use some foreign companies to build some of the pipe, but it was because they couldn't get the contracts from U.S. companies.
Okay, all right.
So we're going to trust Chinese steel to run, okay.
Yeah.
Great. Chris from Yankton has something about the Keystone pipelines.
Yeah.
Were we heading for commercial or anything?
No, go ahead.
Regarding the puffing about the Keystone oil sludge pipeline creating jobs, it's a load of hooey. Keystone always claims their projects are going to create a million billion jobs. When the project rolls around, it creates roughly 5 jobs, including an extra hooker in Sioux City.
And disparage her.
Do you really think those are union jobs? Come on. I know there are both sides to consider, especially when giving cover to President Obama while he vacillates, but come on. To reiterate, there are no economic rewards Canada just wants us to take the spillage from the dirty pipeline so they don't have to deal with the consequences.
Good points, except for the snark. Some people are not just giving cover to the president. This is a complicated decision. But, of course, I'm a fascist war criminal. All right.
The weekend can't come soon enough.
Ah, for God's sakes. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that was not a very romantic discussion for Valentine's Day.
What?
Jim said that Rand Paul and Marco Rubio say that marriage is the cure for poverty.
Oh, right.
And you said.
I said, yeah, they need to go to Walmart.
All right.
That'll just prove that.
All right. Magical cure for everything.
No.
Wow, you know who's getting the most action, the most romance?
What?
Max and Fred on Valentine's Day.
Why?
Look, BB wants to wish Fred a happy Valentine's Day. She thinks both Fred and Max are handsome and romantic, but prefers Fred's pawing techniques. Yes.
Look, the pawing, like, dunk.
Right.
Dunk, dunk.
And either BB is from a somewhere with a lot of snow or has a really bad cocaine problem. Okay.
The first one. The former. Not that kind of snow.
All right. Oh, do we have him? Speaking of love and sex and magic. All right. I'm speaking, of course, of his new book. Hang on. Here it is. All right. The new book is called Citizenville. He is the current lieutenant governor of California. Gavin Newsom joins us now. Good morning, Gavin.
You know, I knew they updated the paperback, but I didn't know it was about love, sex, and magic. I'm going to take it because I need to sell this damn thing. It's a lot more interesting than technology and governing.
Well, everything you say, because look, at we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of you marrying the first gay couples in California. How apropos to have you on today. This is a huge decision out of Virginia, right?
Yeah, wasn't that remarkable? And it's great. You know, it's serendipity for me. My brother-in-law is working on the case, and within seconds, late last night, he calls me of that decision coming out. So proud. And he works over at the David Boies and Schiller firm. But
wow.
It's an amazing thing. Kentucky and Nevada and obviously Utah and now Virginia, this thing's starting to tip. And Stephanie, just think back 10 years ago. You know, people say, boy, we've come so far in 10 years. Candidly, we really didn't come that far for at least five of those 10. It's really the last 36 months, 48 yeah. months that it's really tipped. But it was quiet there in 05, 06, 07. Eight things were going backwards, not forward, but now we're leaping ahead.
Wow, I know, Tanya, when you were just an out-of-control wild man 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah I remember, I'll never forget waking up on a Sunday morning, blurry-eyed, and there's Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, it's crazy, you know, in San Francisco, you know, it's chaos. You know, people are, you know, out there on the streets, you know, riots, you know, it's craziness. We've got to shut this mayor down. And it was, you know, I was thinking, what the hell is this guy talking about? There wasn't any violence. There was no chaos. 4,036 couples, 46 states.
Wow. And that's before we learned about his particular version of family values. But
yeah,
let's not talk about that.
It is interesting, right?
Yeah. I think that sounded better in German when he first said it.
Yeah. But Lieutenant Governor, so let's talk about it. For those of you people who have just tuned in, a federal judge has ruled that Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, making it the first state in the South to have its prohibition overturned. I mean, obviously, as you say, your brother, David Boies, Ted Olson, I mean, they've chosen this. I mean, how awesome that this is obviously where interracial marriage, the Loving case,
yeah.
So, I mean, do you think this is going to be the case that goes to the Supreme Court that could, you know, possibly result in marriage equality for everybody?
That was their absolute intent, and there was purpose for going to Virginia for all the reasons you just enunciated. And, of course, then what happened really shocked everybody was what happened in Utah. So the question is, which gets there first? Do they consolidate? But no question, this is going to go right back on their desk. And, again, it's going to be a case with a heck of a lot more at stake than even the Prop 8 case just a few months back or last year. But, you know, it's important. I mean, it's such a great opportunity to remind people. We had to listen to Bobby Jindal down here in California, mm-hmm. right, at the Reagan Library yesterday, talking about religious freedom, religious liberty, and attack gay marriage again. As if, you know, I mean, literally, as if a speech could have given 10 years ago. And it's just amazing to me. Think about when Richard Loving broke the law when he fell in love with Mildred Jeter and he said, I do, and got married. He was sentenced to 1 year in prison, and he fought that case. And people need to be reminded, in that decision, the lower court decision, the judge said, God, sir, God put different races on different continents for a reason.
Right.
God never wanted the races to mix. And so literally, under religious guise, the judge sentenced him to 1 year in prison. And then you have to hear folks like Bobby Jindal. And you're thinking, this is 2014, Bobby, and you're a relatively young guy, and you profess to be a leader of the future. It's very disheartening, and I think folks have to read their own history.
Wow, and by the way, right on cue, Ted Cruz introduces anti-gay marriage bill. I mean, you know, when you talk about the tipping point and clearly the writing on the wall and the momentum here, this guy, so it's I don't know if you've heard of this exactly. He's taken up a new cause in Congress defending states' rights to regulate marriage. Gee, we've heard that term states' rights a lot, haven't we? He introduced a bill to the Senate to amend U.S. law with regard to the definition of marriage and spouse for federal purposes and to ensure respect for state regulation of marriage. This obviously has no chance, right?
No, of course not, which is pretty much his M.O. I don't think he has much interest in getting things done and consolidating his incredibly diminishing base. But, you know, yeah, these guys on staff, I'm sure Ted Cruz was out there 6 years ago saying he supported a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage federally, and now he's talking about states' rights. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with guys like that. But, look, the good news is there's court.
Ted is the patron saint of lost causes, I think. You're right.
I'm with you. But, you know, I even talking about him, I'm sort of over it. But
yeah.
It's nice to have a court system, and thank God for it, because that's the reason the Constitution has been protected. And there's a reason George Bush wanted to change the Constitution. He wanted to write discrimination into it, because there's nothing in our Constitution that allows for folks to deny people, regardless of their sexual orientation, to marry. And that's their great frustration.
Yep.
As they sit there and they talk about the founding principles of our great constitutional democracy, there is something principled about our Constitution as it relates to this issue. And that's where they're in this very difficult place where they can't make that case, the Constitution's purity, because they actually need to change it in order to stop this train from continuing down the track.
Right. Well, Gavin, you know, I mean, it's because of, you know, brave, like, straight allies like you and Chris Cluey that stepped out early. And, you know, now we have Michael Sam. We have, you know, in the NFL. I mean, all of these, it's all these last bastions, I think, of homophobia are going to fall. But let's talk about your book, because obviously your book, Citizenville, is about being out front on a lot of issues. It's subtitled on New Ideas in Reinventing American Government.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, about what the book's about.
I'm hardly the first guy to talk about reinventing government, but I went to our old boss, Al Gore, who knew a thing or two about it, and sort of started there. And look, here's my fundamental argument. You know, we're all being conditioned by Amazon, where in real time we can download books, download apps, download music. Heck, we can go on Nike.com and customize our next tennis shoes that will arrive within 24 hours. And then we walk into the DMV. And you wait in line, and there's still, I kid you not, San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury, DMV, still hands out forms in triplicate. Mm-hmm. We're on a collision course with the future, the new digital divide, not just socioeconomic, which is real, but growing digital divide between government and the world that all of us are participating and living in. And so we're on the leading and cutting edge in government in 1973 in terms of technology. And the most remarkable thing about the healthcare.gov website was how unremarkable its failure in the early days was. Everyone getting upset about it was sort of mesmerizing to me, because I wrote this book a year ago. It's paperback coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically predicted that whole thing, because we had 46 contractors that have been doing business with the government, federal government, for 30 years that got the contract on that. No new technology was advanced on that. 94% of all large-scale federal IT projects come in wildly over budget or completely collapse on their own weight. 94%. There was nothing extraordinary about the difficulty that they had with that website. And so it requires a whole new thinking, not just new technology, but a whole new cultural embedment in the government to radically open up our doors, hyper transparency, and to reconnect with citizens and the public in a way where we're not treating citizens like subjects, but we're in doing things to them, but doing things with them, and create a different kind of energy and participatory democracy, and that I think all of us deserve. So that's the long-winded.
Well, listen, you have to go, because you, in case you don't know, are the most attractive and popular man in the world. But the book is Citizenville. It sounds fascinating. Pick it up, out in paperback this week.
Love, Sex, and Magic.
That's
there you
right.
go. Or as my subtitle is Love and Sex and Magic. All right. Lieutenant Governor, thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thank you all. Take care.
All right. There he goes. You know, it's easier to concentrate when you don't have to look at him.
It is. That's a lot of good looking.
Wow, that is the original sexy liberal, that one there.
And you know what's funny is that, you know, people always said that, you know, Bill Clinton had this charisma and he made you feel like,
right,
you know, he was the best.
You're the only person in the room.
Exactly.
He does that. Yeah.
I never really understood that until I sat next to Gavin Newsom on some dais that we were on.
Right.
And I was like, Wow.
You can't remember where you were, can you? Because time just slips away.
We were at the Beverly Hilton.
The Beverly Hilton.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
But, yeah, that was, he's an amazing, charismatic guy.
Future president.
That's right.
Did I say that? Did I say that out loud? That, and then they could never do a movie because no one would be better. They could not find an actor that would be better looking or even as good looking as he is to play him. All right, kids, we are all off to Phoenix for the very first Sexy Liberal of 2014. Chris and Jim coming with us, your masters of ceremonies. Mm-hmm, right.
602 in the house.
In the hizzy.
Sure.
Oh, and because we know times are tough, we are, if you go, we have a thing up at Sexy Liberal Facebook. There is a last minute, discount for just those rear orchestra and mezzanine seats that are left.
Yep.
Yes, and you use the code word sexy.
Yes.
Okay. And the Sexy Liberal cause we just picked is Gabby Giffords Foundation. I'm very, very excited about that. All right. And then let's see. Fort Lauderdale, March 1st. Those tickets are going very, very quickly. Jackie Schechner, Judy Tenuta do our celebrity panelists with us for that one.
So cool.
Madison.
Could happen.
Already sold out. Chicago going quickly, of course, as always, in April. Albuquerque in May. And then the just announced this morning, everybody.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
You heard that right, Minnesota. Michelle Bachmann is leaving Congress. And to celebrate, it's out with the crazy.
Crazy.
Bye-bye.
And in with the sexy. Back by overwhelming popular demand, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Minneapolis June 7th at the State Theater. Comedic geniuses John Fugelsang and Carlos Alazraki will perform live on stage with the star of all progressive media, Stephanie Miller.
Are they pro-America or anti-America?
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss this evening of political comedy with a special goodbye to Michelle and Marcus. Too.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley!
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live June 7th at the State Theater in Minneapolis. Okay. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
We're going to invite Marcus. We are. See if we can get him to do a little opening number.
Maybe
on
entice
skates.
Him, entice maybe? Him with some corn dogs.
Maybe, right.
On skates?
Well, no, we'll just put a line of corn dogs from the Bachman's house to the State Theater. And we'll get him a headdress. Maybe he'll do the opening from Xanadu on roller skates.
No, it's closing.
Closing. Right. We'll get him to, listen, male dancers and corn dogs.
He knows about openings, too.
What
am I talking
about?
No, I'm from the theater, is what I'm saying.
No, I picture him having, like, six costume changes, like Cher.
Yes.
For her concert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will he wear a pashmina?
A girl can dream. All in bone white.
Bone.
All right. Bone. 19 minutes after the
bone
hour.
Bone King.
We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Which is not the title of Gavin Newsom.
No, it's Citizenville.
Should be.
Because I don't... See, that's what is better. I can concentrate when he's just on the radio. Because otherwise I just see his beautiful lips moving. Okay. What is happening to me on Valentine's Day?
When he talks to you, he makes it seem like he's really interested in what you're talking about. And he engages you. But in reality... Probably couldn't care less.
I don't really even know what you were just saying now. I wasn't paying attention. Okay.
You are the worst lesbian ever.
I know. I'm not good at it, despite a lot of practice. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Alan in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Steph.
Yes.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and the crew.
Thank you, honey.
Hey, you know, we've been dealing with a major... tar sands pipeline spill for the last 3 or 4 years here in Michigan. We have the Enbridge oil spill that dumped about 800,000 barrels into the Kalamazoo River a few years ago.
Wait.
We're still cleaning it up.
Wow.
And that's like, given, I think I saw an ad, the average year for train derailment oil spills is like 1,200. That's like 700 years worth of train derailment.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, and then you look at this train derailment that just happened in Pennsylvania with the same with the oil, carrying oil from Canada.
Yeah.
I
wonder how many times the Alaskan pipeline leaks and we just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
Because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Jim was saying today about the, you know, the water when these companies go, oh, it's fine.
It's completely safe.
Look at it. You don't need to be a scientist. Yeah. You're like, really? You drink it right in front of me then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we were in honor of announcing the Minneapolis Sexy Liberal in June.
Yep.
And my plan to invite Marcus, because he's going to have a lot of free time. Marcus Bachman, a lot of free time on his hands.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Do you have a loved one like this?
You'll be surprised you're doing the French mistake. Voila!
This Saturday, bring your cousin, your brother, your uncle, the one you're not too sure about, to the Sheboygan Pavilion and witness the techniques of Dr. Marcus Bachman.
Just watch me. It's so simple. You sit here married.
It's Bachman. Get some over, guys. Get some older guys this Saturday. Trade your Prius for a Camaro.
Get it because he does the decaying.
Right. Whack him out, Mike.
Whack, 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 whack. Okay, Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Mix, and a very happy and sexy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Two things. One, I'm coming up to the show tomorrow night.
Woot.
I wanted to see if you need me to bring anything from Tucson, you know, maybe some tamales or a little more Canyon Ranch swag, whatever you need, I'm here for you.
You know, bring one of those lollipops with the scorpion in it.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, if I can find them, I'll bring them.
Awesome. Right.
And then the second thing you were talking about, you know, who would play Gavin Newsom in his life movie?
Right.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Oh,
I can see that.
I think Gavin Newsom is more handsome, though. That's my point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
but the resemblance is there.
But he's the closest thing. Who not?
Maybe Rob Lowe.
No, they don't look. No. Matthew McConaughey looks a little like Gavin Newsom. Mm,
All right. Casting director, whatever. Well, everybody settle down. Yeah. Mm. Laura in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Welcome to Free Speech TV, you guys. I'm a longtime listener. I watch John Current, and I'm so happy you're on Free Speech
TV. Me too. Thank you, honey.
Secondly, I just want to say I have it's, you know, V-Day coming up, right?
Right.
and I'm referring to the celebrations that are happening for to keep in mind on violence against women and children.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that. And I wanted to say I have a terrible crush on Jim.
Oh, now he's awake. Hello.
Sorry, I'm glad he's going to join your tour because he's just, I've got a crush on you, Jim. But
lots of chicks dig Jim. You'll have to take a number.
And I want to remind everybody not only the problems with the pipelines and the transportation, transporting the oil, but it's going to go be refined in a place they call Cancer Alley.
Yeah.
That's just already got horrible health problems.
Yeah.
Down there. So, and also, you know, it's shipped off to China, Mexico, wherever, and is still going to contribute to global warming and climate change. Mm-hmm. So,
Yep.
Anyway.
And just your steaminess toward Jim is already
a smile and a laugh every morning.
Aww. All right, thank you. Just your steaminess toward Jim has just raised his global warmed us at least 5-10 more degrees.
And of course, Cancer Alley is populated almost exclusively by minorities.
Oh.
Yeah. Coincidence.
Play they. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Got our own monster.
Stephanie Miller.
It's not a monster. Let's jam in the basement until the circus comes to town.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Just spitballing during the commercial break, brainstorming.
What
we were saying, if my dream dies, like many of mine do.
Yep.
And Marcus Bachman will not come and do an opening number at Minneapolis Sexy Liberal in June. Dave in Minneapolis. Maybe we can get him to be a Mark Spockman impersonator.
And do a great big musical number. Yes.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
Come on, Dave. Do it. He's official gay Lutheran pastor of the Stephanie Miller Show from Minneapolis.
And this would fulfill Roland's dream of producing a musical.
There you go.
It's
all love and sex and magic.
There you go.
As it will be this Saturday with all of us in Phoenix for the first Sexy Liberal. Do it. Go get those last minute tickets. We've got a discount code. Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook for those last remaining tickets. Get it. They're like 40 bucks, aren't they? Something like that.
Something crazy. Yes.
And the Sexy Liberal cause the Gabby Giffords Foundation. Yep. So we're very, very excited about that. All right. Oh, by the way.
Is she going to wipe food off your face again?
Sorry. Do I have food on my face?
No.
She did. That was the cutest thing.
It was.
When I got a picture with them, I had lunch on my face. All right.
What kind of food was it? What, I mean, was it gross or?
Blancmange?
I don't know.
Blancmange.
Okay. Oh, we might have a new Marcus Bachman. We'll see by the time we get to the April 26th Chicago Theater Show. Because this guy.
Oh, the Illinois Republican candidate for governor?
Yes.
Of course he's a Republican.
Yes, out of Daily Beast, sex threats and taxpayer cash, a GOP poll's multi-layered scandal.
Yep.
Just weeks away from the Republican primary in Illinois, a gubernatorial candidate being accused of everything from sexual harassment of a man to questionable spending on travel with a young aide.
They were saving
taxpayer money by bunking up.
Yep.
Right.
On like something like 57 trips
Can
or something like
that?
Can you imagine
if I asked you guys to do that on Sexy Liberal?
Oh, hell like, no.
Hell to the no.
We got to save money. Come on.
Those aren't pillows. He's going to be carrying his luggage.
Yes, a lawsuit filed earlier.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
A lawsuit filed earlier this week accuses Dan Rutherford, that guy, luring a former employee to his home. Well, this is something I would do during cocktail hour.
The former employee was described as strapping.
Luring a former employee to his home, touching him inappropriately, and attempting both bribes and threats in response to rejection.
Sex dwarf, isn't it nice?
You
luring disco dollies to a life of vice.
That's why you don't answer my drunk dials.
Oh, God, no, I know.
Chris, can you come over and fix this? Something going on with my iPod.
I got some pillows that need fluffing.
Those aren't pillows.
Rutherford actually attempted to get ahead of the accusations, holding a last-minute news conference to deny potentially forthcoming allegations of misconduct. Oh, clever, clever.
Heading it off the pass.
I pre-deny whatever he's going to say, that little liar.
Among the allegations outlined in the lawsuit claims that Rutherford lured the guy to an overnight retreat at his home. What would happen if I called you guys instead of having a sleepover?
Well,
well, for Jim. Jim would Jim's easily tricked. And under the premise that other staffers would be there, only to discover that he and Rutherford were alone when he arrived.
I guess the others couldn't make it.
They'll be here any minute.
They must have had car trouble or something.
Waka 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 bow, 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 bow. Disco ball comes down. Bed comes out of the wall.
That was look, roofies.
That was still, in foul play, wasn't it? Mm-hmm, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Still deciding to. Oh no, 10. I'm thinking 10. Dudley Moore, right?
Or was it foul play?
I don't know. Still deciding to stay the night for some reason. He claims his boss approached him in the guest bedroom and grabbed his genitals.
Subtle.
That's a smooth. That's a smooth move there.
No. Yeah, some chocolates first.
Then
maybe.
There is his executive assistant, Josh Lanning.
That's
who we are. What'd you do?
That's the strapping one who went on the trip.
He's his travel assistant. Right. He regularly shared a hotel room with the treasurer.
Could you carry my sack bags for me?
Sacks. A couple of sacks. When questioned, Rutherford has insisted the two room together as a means of saving money.
Oh, of course.
We double bunk in the campaign, he said.
Sure.
We always double bunk when we can. Totally is a cost-saving measure.
Right.
Roland and I do that. We share a room on sexy little dates.
Yeah.
Just because we're weird.
Well, you enjoy each other's company.
We do.
You have this energy that feeds off of each other.
Yeah, We're both high-strung. We're the only ones that can stand each other, so we... We do it despite his horrific toenails, which he sometimes scratches me with in bed.
And
but
his,
anyway.
And his balls.
Right. Well, he is a testicular exhibitionist.
Yes.
Okay, that was inadvertent, I think. Yeah, I love this. The one time he claims that he hit on him in a bar, he said, and he rejected him. Rutherford became angry and said, "You just said no to the treasurer."
Wow. Ooh, burn.
Is that a pickup line that's ever worked for anyone? Hi.
I'm the treasurer.
I'm the treasurer of Illinois. How you doing?
God.
What?
That's gross.
It's like Larry Craig whipped out his.
What do you think of that?
Card.
Senator card.
I am a senator. What do you think of that?
Well, I think this is going to get a lot of unwarranted publicity.
Wow,
then.
I think that's not going to be good
you
for
know,
you.
You know, Matt, you've ever had a bit of toilet paper stuck to your shoe, and suddenly you're face to face with the policeman's nether regions? No, that has never happened to anyone I know.
No.
Certainly not to me.
Okay, let's go to Lee in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that the argument that Obama has to approve the Keystone Pipeline because we don't want to lose the election is exactly the same way we got the Defense of Marriage Act.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good point.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, I think the House is so terrific that they're horrific. Excuse me.
Terrific?
Did I say terrific?
Or yeah. Terrific.
I meant horrific.
Wow.
Wow.
It's opposite day.
Yes.
No, it isn't.
I just, the Senate going Republican is just, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Even if you figure Hillary's a walk for president, if you thought Obama couldn't get anything done. Oy. Okay. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
You. Thank you.
You too.
I love you all. I love Max and Fred. Aww. I wish I was there, and I really wish I was there because there's a foot of freaking snow in front of my house.
I heard you took a foot this morning. That's what I was. That's what.
Please. And the snowplow didn't come till 4 a.m., making sure the entire street got up as it finally dug us out.
Wow.
Wow.
Listen, I would like to challenge the caller who called her a little bit ago to say that they can't use the U.S. steel because the Chinese steel is faster. They make it faster.
And
because
cheaper.
If faster is the only criteria, I mean, is that how we choose surgeons, you know, who does the operation the fastest?
Oh, I thought you said sturgeon.
No.
Oh, surgeons,
no, but,
right.
No, I talked to a guy who was in construction, and he said that the Chinese stuff is crap.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at Chinese toys. You know, things manufactured in China have not had the best track record. And something that has such an enormous impact, not just for our country, but for really for the world and the environment we're and our future generations, faster, if that's the only criteria, we're in serious trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to challenge that. Faster does not always mean better.
Faster,
and I can
cheaper,
think of
more dangerous.
Something specially relevant on Valentine's Day.
Thank you. I was just going to make a premature ejaculation joke, and you beat me to it. See? All right. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that.
She knows you too well.
Look how fast I did that.
Yep.
Right? Whatever.
Huh? Hit me. There it goes again.
Take me. Oh. Oh, I love you. Oh, we're done.
My friend says that happened to foul play, by the way.
Foul play.
Where the bed came down, the disco ball. Yeah.
It also happens in a Dudley Moore movie, right?
I believe, was Dudley
Arthur
Moore?
Or 10? No, 10. 10. Okay. Let's go.
Also,
all right. Loretta in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Loretta.
Hi, gang.
Hello.
How are you? Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
You too.
We're longtime fans. We saw you in Santa Fe and then again in Albuquerque and now on Free Speech TV.
Aww.
It's wonderful to connect the voices to real people that we can actually see.
Aw, thank you, thank you. Go ahead.
Anyway, regarding the pipeline, the Canadians had a lot of no's, especially from the First Nations. And although we have First Nations here, apparently their voices are not being heard. And so the U.S. is like the little brother in the old commercial of Let Mikey Do It, because we're run by greedy corporations instead of by reasonable people. So that's why they see the weak link in the U.S. where they can get that pipeline through.
Yeah.
And that's my take on it.
Yep. Thank you, honey. Good point, by the way. See, there can be magical bipartisan moments.
Yeah.
As it turns out, Jim, Dudley Moore was in foul play.
That's right.
Right.
And it was his place where the disco ball dropped down.
So I was right.
Bed comes out of the wall.
It was a Dudley Moore film, and you were right. It was Foul Play.
Well, because I've never seen 10. I've never seen
Arthur. Oh, you're right, Dudley. Because I always think just Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase.
I've never seen 10. I've never seen Arthur, but I have seen Foul Play, and I've seen that scene. So
I actually did a paper on the movie 10 in cinema class at UCLA.
Yes, and you and I tend to gravitate toward other Goldie Hawn films.
Oh, it seems like old times.
Don't you a snap at me.
Okay. How long does it take to scrape feet? Longer than it takes to make chicken pepperoni.
Okay, and see. Oh.
I love that movie.
Me too. Okay, let's go to Monty in Missouri. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Monty.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
So glad you guys got hooked up with free speech.
Me too.
The comment is on the oil and the trains and stuff that bring the tar sands oil down. One of the things is that you have to understand on the train, back in the 80s, Reagan signed in one of the bills that they're not liable for the spills and the emergency care and all the bills that rack up when we have to clean up a spill.
Oh, wow.
Also, there are better tankers out there, the whole oil, that will cut that down probably by about 90%.
Hmm.
Okay, but they're more expensive, but they don't want to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last thing on the oil companies, okay, the reason they get all these subsidies, like $22 million, I think it was Exxon got last year, was back then when they were charged more taxes, they complained, well, we can't do any research out there, find any oil and stuff out there, exploration. Well, we gave them money for exploration. Well, now that they've got all the tax cuts, they want that money, too, and also the tax cuts, you know.
It is, exactly. It is corporate welfare. I don't know who really thinks oil companies actually need subsidies of any kind. 46 minutes after the hour, the remaining moments on the Valentine's Day Stephanie Miller Show.
Go ahead. Laugh out loud in your cubicle. Everyone already thinks you're a left-wing lunatic anyway. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I can fix that hump for you.
My lovely little what hump?
Stephanie Miller.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump. What hump?
Listen to the vocabulary. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, I got something wrong. Our very first, we're all heading off to Phoenix.
Yep.
Tomorrow night is the very first 2014 Sexy Liberal Show. There is a 40% off deal going on right now if you buy two tickets. That's for those last remaining seats. Pick those up. The code is SEXY. There's a link up at Sexy Liberal Facebook and Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. And the Sexy Liberal cause is Gabby Gifford's foundation, so we're very, very exciting. Raise your glass.
Don't get fancy. Right? Just get dancy. This Saturday is the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour in Phoenix.
Right, turn up the night. We're gonna party Saturday night.
Sexy liberals.
That's the way we roll.
I love when it's all too much.
Come on, no.
Turn the radio up. Where's Mama at?
There she is.
This Saturday, February 15th, come raise your glass to another fabulous year of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, starring Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang, and Carlos El Rocky, with special guest Jim Ward. So, don't forget to wear your tennis pad or Depends for that unexpected leak.
Oh no, oh no. I just peed a little.
Uh-oh.
I'll be right back. Oh, golly. Oh, Audra from Minneapolis. Of course, Minneapolis. June 7th show just announced this morning. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Tickets going very fast. Oh, you know, speaking of love stories, you know my Tony in L.A.?
Yeah.
Whom I love and I've been talking to for years. Tony writes, Steph, great speaking with you the other day. I was just thinking all the years we've talked, you've never seen me. Put a face in my voice. Tony is hot.
She is. I saw this email. Yeah.
I love you, Tony. Be my Valentine. All right. Speaking of you can do it. Speaking of past Valentines, who was there a picture of in my locker in high school at DeSales Catholic High School? Bruce Jenner.
Oh.
Well, and now with all the news about marriage equality, if in fact he is becoming a woman, I could actually grow up to marry Bruce Jenner.
We support his transition if that's in fact what he is doing.
They say that's not what he's doing.
Okay.
Who's they?
I don't know. He's prettier than Steven Tyler now, though, is all I'm saying. He has a lovely mane of hair.
I think he's just going through a Michael Jackson phase.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Bruce Jenner's not changing his identity, his family says. He's just going through a midlife crisis and is addicted to plastic surgery. They say Bruce is changing his look because of his Michael Jackson-like obsession.
So he doesn't
want to
be
surgery.
Black anymore, is what he's saying. Yeah.
Right. He does not. Well, he was born a poor black child.
Bruce Jenner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Right.
They also echo the story TMZ posted Tuesday that Bruce is super manly. The family saying he loves sports, helicopters, and cars.
Well, he was an Olympian, so he does love sports.
Sports.
Right?
And helicopters.
That Wheaties box, cars. Who can forget? All right. I love him no matter what.
I also love Bobby Sherman.
Well, you know, I'm very immature. I've never let go of my loves.
Do we know what Bobby Sherman looks like now?
Although I saw that in the last DUI mugshot of David Cassidy.
Oh,
yikes.
I met Bobby Sherman about 10, 12 years ago.
I think I still love him, but I'm a little, you know, come on.
Well, what are you so afraid of?
I don't know.
Are you afraid you're not sure of a love there is no cure for?
I think that's what it might
that
be.
That might be it. Yeah.
So, that was... Okay. Are we having a group nervous breakdown,
or
am I just leading it?
No, I think we're just down to seeds and stems.
Okay. All right. Also, speaking of, we lost Sid Caesar.
Yeah.
This week, 91 years old. Mm-hmm. And you were saying super buff to the end.
Well, he put out a VHS workout tape in the 80s when he was in his 70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember Jack LaLanne was doing that? He was like tugging boats across
the English Channel.
English Channel with his teeth.
Actually, just Catalina.
Yeah. Well, that's not that impressive then.
Was full of lead, though. So
he launched the careers of Mel Brooks, Neil Simon, and Woody Allen.
Yeah. Yep.
As a writer. Okay.
That was show shows.
All right. Let's not get into that whole thing again. I didn't mean as a pedophile.
Right.
Allegedly.
And he was also in Greece.
He was? Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that fun fact. I think the more important thing was Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore was not in Greece.
Okay, thanks. All right.
I hear he's been to Mykonos. Never mind.
All right. We've been talking about, despite all the snow back east, about climate change.
Yeah.
And so, on cue, as I said, it's doofus season on Fox News and other places. Daily Beast with a roundup. Every time the thermometer drops, another anti-science politician mocks climate change as a fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's see. So the U.S. Weather patterns seem more at home in the Book of Revelation than February. Has it made an impact on Senator Ted Cruz, who joked to attendees of the conservative policy summit about the nip in the air? Al Gore told me this wouldn't happen.
Good.
That's a guaranteed killer line in any conservative. This sentiment has been echoed across social media by climate change skeptics. Someone named Ryan Smith. Are you familiar?
Who's
I'm
he?
Not. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He wrote it in all caps, though, so you know it's important.
Oh, Lord. All right. One of those.
Global warming, my arse. That was his tweet. Eric Erickson, who's always so thoughtful on every subject. The difference between people who believe in the second coming of Jesus and those who believe in global warming is that Jesus will return.
Wow. Well, that's well-reasoned.
That makes no sense.
Oh, I see. That one's true, but global warming... is okay. Oh, Donald Trump, always good to hear his reasoned thoughts on the situations. Well, he tweeted, the very expensive global warming bull has got to stop. Our planet is freezing. Record
everywhere.
Low temps, and our GDW scientists are stuck in ice. He's seriously such a dope. Most obviously, as Daily Beast writes, climate is different than weather. Thank you. Jim points that out nearly weekly. That's why the Midwest and Northeast have faced three snowstorms in the past 2 weeks, while the drought in California has been so severe, water deliveries from reservoirs to the Central Valley have been cut to zero. Climate trends are exactly that, trends. Another key component of global warming is right there in the name, global. In December 2013, North America was colder than average, but Russia and most of Europe were far hotter, which you can see from what's happening in Sochi. Despite what Ted Cruz thinks, the world extends beyond the continental United States, and most of it has been crazy hot. All right. But otherwise, he's delightful. All right, that's it for us. We're off to Phoenix. Get those last remaining tickets. We will see you at Phoenix Sexy Little tomorrow night, and we will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.